Bases dropped on your Friday, and we're kind of juggling things around a little bit this morning because somebody, he raised his hand publicly, and he's like, you know, can I go a little early this morning? I got places to be and people to see and things like that. So without wasting any time in our official no dilly, no dally zone, we're going to try technology and see if John doesn't mess it up. So here's the beginning of the show on your Friday as we turn things a little bit around in the batting order. Greg Garza hanging out, starting off the batting leadoff.
Number get it.
Batting leadoff, number four for Greg Garza, batting leadoff.
I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. Thank you, John. I appreciate it. How's everything going?
We're running around trying to look like we know what we're talking about. And obviously, we can talk about Atlanta United. Obviously, we want to get into that a little bit.
It's definitely.
But there's one particular individual who currently plays for Atlanta United who had a very, very busy Thanksgiving and Christmas season. And he got called up for his national team. He's a young kid. You might know him, Thiago Almada. And last night, they had Argentina's national team had their first match back since winning the World Cup. And it was pageantry and smoke and lasers and flames and fireworks and Messi scores his 800th goal and things like that. And Thiago Almada scores off of a rebound off of a Messi free kick that hits the crossbar. And you literally hear the, that's how hard Lionel Messi hit it. You heard that from the PVC pipe. And Almada scores, and there was great rejoicing. And there's articles now about Thiago Almada. I want to kind of get into stars and other players on rosters and things like that when it comes to mentees and how it can rub off on players and things like that. When it comes to a guy like Thiago Almada, when was the last time you saw a talent like his in your sphere? When was the last time you saw somebody that young hit the rocket ship and just absolutely just go off into the stratosphere like this?
I think within my own personal, it's got to be Miguel, right?
Right.
Miguel, to where, you know, you really see him come out of his shell and you really see him take rein and understand how much his talent can push everyone else forward. And I think Thiago is now he's in that realm, right? He's in that house, that round table, to where it's a small one, but you know, he's able to change the game within seconds. The free kick that he hit the other day was absolutely unbelievable. I didn't even think he was close enough to even hit it on goal or on frame, as tiny as he is, to have that much power within a shot. It's pretty amazing. So, I know this is going to be a sad thing to say to most everyone that is an Atlanta United fan, but sell him as quickly as possible, because if you are an MLS team and a, you know, organization to where this is your bread and butter to buy players, he wasn't a cheap player, but right now his value is flying high. And that's what it's all about. When you have these young players that come into the MLS, I think it's great that the MLS is a stepping stone for these kids to then go on and conquer so much more. I think we can be very honest. The MLS is still not a league to where, you know, we're not at the top of that stepping stone. We're still that stepping stone to get into another league that is much higher than ours. But I think it is a great league to be a stepping stone in. It is no longer a league to retire in. It is now a stepping stone league for these kids to come, show their talent, showcase their talent, continue to grow their value, and then move on to bigger and better things. And I think it's great for the league.
And when it comes to players like that, I imagine that in the circles that you and Michael are currently in, you have your mentees, and within those groups of mentees, you've got the guy, capital T, capital G. You probably have that star that's involved or engaged in that group, that player that is that much better than the group on the whole. What's it like in having these conversations with mentees where they are experiencing the same kinds of things in their own age groups, and they're trying to learn from that player who is a little bit better than they are and try not to get weighed down by the fact that you're around a player who is better than you are, that you can learn from that individual and don't feel so down about not being to that level yet?
And there would be players to where they will never hit that level, right? I can even say that for myself, right? I was never the best player on any team that I ever played for, even as a youth player and even as a pro. But you're able to learn the traits, and those guys that are in that realm of, you know, having a certain quality that is differentiates them than from anyone else. You serve as a major role model, right? Because anybody and everybody that is training under you is watching you. And that's kind of, you know, you want to watch, if you are a younger player and you watch Thiago, how, you know, he plays with a chip on his shoulder, but he seems a very well-rounded young man who seems very humble in the way that he carries himself off the field, always smiling. And just that's the type of player you want to follow. That's the type of player you want to, dream to be one day, right? Someone who serves as that role model and someone who can guide younger players that might be experiencing, you know, the same success within their own individual team, but they can learn a lot from watching guys like that.
At the same time, though, I imagine that in your groups of mentees, there might be those that might need that extra little bit of encouragement to sit there and go, you know, he's over here, but don't get bogged down in that. Focus on yourself and focus on making yourself better, because if you start to kind of look over your shoulder, it could, you know, be a detriment to your own growth. And I think that that's just as important in catching up with these athletes. It's like pacing happens at its own time. It's not something that, you know, sometimes it's a light switch, sometimes it's, you know, a staircase. But don't get bogged down in the fact that someone over here is a fantastic talent. Do your best, and that's all you can do. Don't hold yourself to a standard that might be too far for you, especially as a young and upcoming player.
I think the easy answer to that is that every player will have their moment. And that is the easiest piece of advice that I can always give kids who are saying, man, you know, this is never going to happen for me. I'm never going to be in the limelight. I'm never going to, you know, it's this guy is, you can never worry about anyone else but yourself, right? You always have to be that most important person in the room, in a humbling way. But every player will always have their moment. You look at Caleb Wiley, right? I think Caleb Wiley was, and we can be very honest, a good player last year. But I think he was average in comparison to what he is showing now. And every player will always have their moment. This moment that Caleb Wiley is living in, now it is up to him to how he handles it, how he grows from it, how he uses it to the best of his ability to continue to grow his career. Will next season be the same? Probably not. Maybe not. Who knows? It could continue to get even better and better and better. But when you are a player and you have your moment, it is up to you how you handle that particular moment the best way possible and use it to the best of your benefit and the best of your ability. And I think, like I said, that's the easiest piece of advice that I have for kids that are looking around, seeing other players achieve such greatness and such success, is always keep your head down, work in silence, continue to work for what's yours. And there will be a moment that you will have that opportunity, to do the same. There's so many names that I can name. You look at Brandon Vasquez last year, right? Which in this season, season has changed a little bit, right, in comparison to last year. But he was able to use the moments that he had last year and to build his value and to create a name for himself and to renew a multi-million dollar contract, right? And that's what it's all about when you're in that realm, right?
Greg Garza, Beyond Goals Mentoring, at BG Mentoring on the Twitters, hanging out with us for the Friday Free Kick. When it comes to making sure that you're focused on you, do you see generational approaches being different, or the weight on athletes' shoulders? Is it different? Was it different for your generation in having that weight versus today's young player? Is it different, or is it still pretty much managed the same when it comes to self-expectation, not weighing yourself down and not looking over at the guy that might be further along than you?
That is much different because social media plays a huge role in that, right? Every kid wants to have as many followers as someone else. Every kid wants to have more likes on the highlight reels that they are getting, or whatever it might be that they're making for themselves, or whatever it might be. It's all about views, likes, and follows these days, where when I was a kid, we didn't have that. I feel that you were probably looking over, over your shoulder, looking at other kids that might be creating some sort of success or might be in a different situation than you are, but it's not as highlighted and as microscoped as it is today.
Because and I would imagine also because of how you mentioned social media when you were growing up, and in the time back in the 1790s when I was growing up, we didn't have Huddle. We didn't have Twitter. We didn't have TikTok and Instagram where we could edit our best moments and promote it that way instead of everyone knowing warts and all, like it was when you were just starting out, or when I was looking at, the first incarnation of the North American Soccer League and looking at Giorgio Canalia. It's different how you present yourself these days, and the warts don't seem to be there as much unless you're there in person. True.
That is so true. I wish I had my videos when I was a kid. I wish I was able to edit my videos when I was a kid. Right. But every generation is different. Right. I feel like this is one thing that I always learned, right. As for a kid that is coming up through the system, this is a great piece of advice, right? If I were to take all of my highlights of all of my dribbles and all of my touches and all of my goals or whatever, everybody's Ronaldinho, right? Everybody is Pele. Everybody is, Romario or Ronaldo, because that's what highlights do. And I think that as I became older and understood the professional mindset, that's not what it's about. It's about learning from those tapes and learning from those videos. And that's a huge piece of advice for all those kids out there. It's not about making highlight reels. It's not about, what dribble you have within that game. It's what can you get from that game to continuously get better and continuously build upon. I think that's kind of where things have probably changed over the years, right? For me, that's what it was. I wanted to look at things to see, okay, where can I continuously build, the type of player that I am, rather than make this highlight video and get, thousands of likes or gain more followers and I think in today's world, that's what you see of more rather than anything else.
And I mean, this, I think, is where how we promote ourselves today could be more of a negative long term, because we are only showing those positive moments. And I know that when you're trying to sit there and get to that next level, whether it's high school to college, college to pro, what have you, you want to show all of those great moments. But then I guess we're stuck in that idea of, okay, here's all of my positives. But then how do coaches and those other people of influence get to sit there and stare at, okay, how did you learn from all I'm seeing is good stuff. how did you learn from the bad stuff? I mean, it seems to the lessons of the bad stuff might get lost these days because of all this promotion that we're seeing on social media. How do we learn in those kinds of situations?
That is one thing that, you know, even Mike and I speak about a lot. Kids these days are not taught to fail. Kids these days are always taught to always succeed, and everything is given to them. Nothing is ever taken away from them. You know, that is a huge concern, even with, you know, it's sometimes hard to speak about it, but, you know, I guess I will, since I've already started it, but it's really hard to see a lot of kids from the academy at Atlanta United be on any given day. They can be at Kroger on Wednesday with their family, and they don't have practice on Wednesday, but they're still wearing their Atlanta United gear, showing that they play for Atlanta United.
Right.
And sometimes that for me is really tough to see, because, you know, I can even use myself, for example. I played for Sao Paulo with Casemiro and Oscar, and, you know, played with all these guys that were, and nowadays are huge players. I played at Sporting Lisbon, you know, for that's where I finished my youth and became a pro. But, you know, we weren't walking around after practice showing that we played for Sporting or showing that we played for Sao Paulo. Because I think you have to earn this right to you know, get to that next level. And I feel that in today's world, everything is given to these kids, to where they feel this superiority of not understanding that resilience is the most valuable asset that you can learn in life. And I think it's really hard for me to see moments like that, because it concerns me to see what happens when these kids fail, what happens when these kids get released, or when they get cut, or when they, you know, all of these other things, because in their minds, everything has, or they have no idea that everything has just been given to them on a golden platter. And that for me is the worst, you know, lesson that you can give to any kid. And I want my kids to fail. I want my kids to sometimes be down in the dirt, right? I want my kids to understand that life is not fair. You know, and that helps them, and helps them understand that life has to be earned, and you know, your place in regards to the soccer community and the soccer world has to be earned, and it can't always be given to you. And that's a concerning, I think that's a concerning point within today's youth world, because back then when we were kids, I mean, even in everyone's era back then, you're always built to be very tough, right? You had to learn to start from the bottom and work your way up, right? Kind of like Drake's song, right? Started from the bottom and now we're here. But there's so many kids that never see the bottom. They only see the top. And so what happens when they get to an age to where they're 14, 15 years old, and then all of a sudden their world is crushed. And then it causes a lot of burnout, right? Because the only thing that is placed in those kids' mind is, I'm going to be a pro. 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 And to be a pro in today's world, the percentage rate is 0.00001, right? One out of every 10 million kids becomes a pro. So, you know, I think helping kids understand, you know, that resilience, in my opinion, is by far the biggest asset and lesson that you can learn and have within your realm of thinking and mindset. Is huge and massive in today's world.
Interesting idea from one of our listeners. Tafka says this: if I were a player seeking a college scholarship, I'd send two discs to coaches, highlights and lowlights, with a two-paragraph analysis of what I did wrong for each lowlight moment. As a coach, I'd salivate over that kind of self-awareness, modesty, and coachability.
I would somewhat agree, right? But you want to think of always creating the best opportunity for yourself, right? That would be great if you know, I think helping kids understand that they have to hold themselves accountable and look in the mirror after games instead of putting excuses places, that's something that I think is very teachable. But you know, also you want to think about always creating the best opportunity for yourself as well. I like that point. I like that point though of you know, having that self-awareness and accountability is huge.
Then a question from Emilio for you this morning. What are your thoughts about going abroad and having to be concerned about getting meaningful playing time and or just sitting on the bench and just getting paid? Who do you trust in the decision-making process?
Who are we talking about here?
Well, I'm thinking that Emilio has someone in mind who played for Atlanta United.
Is it George Bello?
That would be who I think Emilio is leaning toward here is Bello, George. In a general situation, if we were to take George's career and what has happened, if we were to just take it and take away the Bello, George from the ID plate, something like that, in today's day and age, what are your thoughts about going abroad and judging opportunity and playing time and getting paid?
I think that goes back to where we started with this conversation, is that every player will have their moment, and it is up to you on how you decide to use that moment to the best of your ability and benefit, right? I think every player is different, right? We all think different things. I think for myself, if I were able to have a magnificent season somewhere, you know, where my career was still starting and I had the chance to go play in Uzbekistan or Kazakhstan to make millions of dollars, I would go in a heartbeat, because that would ultimately take care of my family and hopefully help them for the rest of their lives, right? That's my own opinion, and that's my own right thinking process of my own particular journey. Whereas others, I believe, will probably, you know, think, well, I will make this jump and continue to use this as a stepping stone to push my career even further, right? And I think everybody, you have to weigh out what's in front of you, right? George is a single kid, right? He doesn't have a family. He doesn't have, you know, people he has to take care of. And ultimately, right, when you play professional soccer, at the end of the day, right, we might root and we might be fans, but it is a job, right? And any other given person on any given day lives in Dallas, Texas, or lives in Oklahoma, and they get this awesome job that's in Mississippi or that's in wherever in the world, Kansas, you move in a heartbeat, right? Because you're gonna take that raise, you're gonna take that new job and whatever it may be. If you know what the outcome is going to be on the other end, you'll probably still take that opportunity and chance to go, right? Even if that outcome ends up being not the one that you hoped for. And I like to compare, you know, those decision-making within real life, right? Real life situations, right? Other jobs, corporate jobs or whatever it may be. And I think that's what Bello did. Bello took advantage of his massive moment that he had with playing with the national team, with playing game in, game out with Atlanta United, and he made the most of it and making a move that helped him economically, probably helped his family economically. And, you know, is he in a situation to where it sucks to ride the bench? It does, but, you know, he's still so young to where he can have another opportunity to showcase his talent anywhere else. And he made a name for himself and he left a legacy here within the league to where he can always come back. And I'm sure there will always be a team that will accept him and give him another chance to shine and once again, create his moment. The same thing could happen with Caleb Wiley this year, right? Caleb Wiley is making a name for himself. I guarantee you there are teams within Europe that are probably having a close look at him. He's only 18, 19 years old, right? But the same thing can happen to him to where he can go to a place in Europe and he will be economically, right, compensated for making that massive move. But, you know, the same thing can happen, right? And so it's you look at those situations and you always root for these kids. But that's the life of a player, right? It's always these ups and downs and these ups and downs of these moments, and these kids will always go through that. And that's where that resilience of what we talked about is massive for these kids to understand. That as Caleb Wiley is climbing that ladder right now and he's getting himself to the top, just we have to continue to remind Caleb Wiley that there's going to be a really low moment in his career. I don't know what it's going to be, right? But there is going to be a really low moment in his career. So as he is climbing that ladder and he is getting to the top, just continue to remind Caleb that, hey, dude, always keep yourself in the middle, right? Always understand that there's always going to be good news, bad news for the remainder of your career. And I would assume, right, even with George Bello as an example, he's got a great head on his shoulders, and I'm sure he understands that to the max, that where he is right now is not where he wants to be, but he's still continuously working towards getting up into that moment to where he wants to be again.
All right, last question before you go, because I know you've got to keep an eye on some Academy folk this morning.
Yes, sir. Yep.
All right, so Atlanta United puts 5 on Portland, top of the table in the East, international break, 7 players gone, but they're going to Columbus, who doesn't have Cucho because of injury. Zelarayan, Room, or Dejanek heading to Columbus and taking on Crew, and apparently the guy with the professional athlete with the worst diet known to mankind, who still is a tremendous athlete in Darlington Nagy.
I wouldn't sleep on Columbus ever, because that's a team that's always, you know, finds a way to just play well and play well at home, even though they haven't had a great start to their season. But can we continue to ride that high, right? Can you be emotionally balanced within riding that high of where we are right now? Can understand that it's a very, very long season, but what a start, and keep that momentum going. And I'm sure the only person that I can say will be happy to see Darlington is Brad. I don't think anybody else, no one else knows Darlington on the team right now, which is absolutely crazy. That's how fast time flies. That's how old we get pretty quick, man. So, you know, the new blood will be able to see, in my opinion, one of the best midfielders, to ever play in the league. That guy will be in the Hall of Fame, MLS Hall of Fame for sure.
Absolutely looking forward to it. So, Greg, go ahead and get out of here. Thanks for hopping on to bat leadoff with us. What's going on with Beyond Goals Mentoring really quickly?
Same old, continuously trying to change the game on the mental side of things. And that's why I had to do this this morning. The 15s and 17s are actually heading to Philadelphia this weekend. And I have the honor to take in one of the boys to the airport and spending some time with him this morning. So that's what we do. That's what we love doing, helping these elite players. You know, sometimes that when things aren't going great, or when the mental side is not where they want it to be, that they always have an outlet, that they always have someone that they can talk to who's been there, done that, and gone through the same process of trying to cope with pressure or deal with certain things that might be affecting our game, and how we can better ourselves on the mental side, which is obviously why we created what we did, and to help as many players as we can.
Fantastic. Get out of here. Go spend some time with folks, and we will catch up with you soon, my friend.
See you. Thanks, John. Appreciate it.